No, it wasn't garbage. Sharknado is garbage.
God, those movies are great.
Whatever. And welcome to another episode of Extra Credit, the episode that actually is just all extra stuff that we just talk about and just really add to the whole conversation. And that little bit that we just, you know, let you fill into was
so kind of extra.
So extra, because here's the thing. Spencer, we call him the B-movie aficionado for a reason. This man has a habit of hunting down some of the worst films to ever grace upon a camera and be made into something that people are forced to watch. Even now, he's reminiscing. He's looking at his laptop and he's reminiscing.
This is an incredible moment just to sort of sit beside Spencer as he goes on this massive trip down memory lane with all these movies I've never heard of.
Like, honestly, Chad had said something earlier that actually rang pretty true. Even now, he's still like mouth open and in
like
awe and
glee. He was like joy on his face.
He is so excited just to trudge down this vast wasteland of memory lane that he's going through with Asylum films and whatnot. So let's kind of talk a bit about B movies, shall we? Why do you like B movies, Spencer? Well, first off, let's just figure out the madness to your method. What is it about B movies that actually excite you? Or get you excited, or whatever B-movies do.
I guess it's because, you know, with your regular movies, like just take, like, Avengers, like, the first Avengers film. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of effort put into that movie, and, like, a lot of working pieces had to make it, like, you know, come together as well as it did. You had to have great acting, you had to have some pretty on-point CGI. You just had to have a lot of things come together. With B-movies, it's either they couldn't get all these pieces to work together properly and things went awry, or they just didn't have certain pieces that they really should have, and then things are just a mess. And just you're just watching these movies, it's like, how did you think this was going to work out without these important pieces? Like, good acting. Like, you need actors, or you're just going to have wooden cardboard.
Tara Reid.
Yeah, you're gonna have
oh
Tara
my
Reid.
Gosh.
Let's actually get on board with the Sharknados and why I like them so much. She's a lot of that, because her acting in those movies are so horrifically bad. I feel like I could act better than her.
And you're right.
Well, and that goes back to, okay, so in this conversation, let's just go ahead and play devil's advocate, if you will. To me, that sounds like the dumbest excuse to watch really bad acting. Like, if I was really gonna play that role in terms of just not being on board, because sadly there are some B movies that I enjoy, and I blame you, Spencer. But in my mind, what rectifies me going to see one of these types of films? Like, why should I? Is there any other reason other than because they don't give awards
out?
First
of all, you don't have to go to see them. They come to you.
That's true.
Yeah, quite honestly, they do.
They just appear before your very eyes.
So what is it that about these films that actually draw you in? Because in my mind, having a bad actress in a film kind of deters me of wanting to see a film. Like, if I know, like, okay, let's take, for instance, the individual that Chad is just so in love with, the actor, the man we actually just mentioned, Mr. Nicolas Cage.
Don't bring him up here.
So we put Nicolas Cage in a film, and you take films like Face Off, or you take films, the films that he's done. Like, take, for instance, the remake to, it's a horror film. I'm drawing a blank, and I feel bad. But there's a film that he did that was a remake of a horror film not too many years ago.
Oh, The Wicker Man?
The Wicker Man, yes. And that movie is just horrible. Like, that is just B movie.
He was in a bear suit and punched a lady.
And see, for me, that all signifies as a bad movie. But I won't go see that. Number one, because bad acting on Nicolas Cage's part, and it just doesn't seem pleasant.
Well, that's the difference, though. Like, that's a movie that's made to be legit that is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Versus a movie that is made to be a B movie. Like, it's made to be bad. It's not ever made to be good. It's not looking for Academy Awards. it's not even looking for like the director's own grandparents to give it an award at a community theater award show. Like, it's just there for entertainment value. And part of the entertainment value is how bad it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, especially when you get like a bad acting with like a kind of nonsensical plot, like Sharknado was really like the perfect mixture of like bad acting, horrible monologues, a story that doesn't quite make any sense because that's not how things work, and just a why is this happening at all? Like, it was so phenomenal, and especially the end segment where like all logic left the room. Because that's what happened. That's not how any of that
all
works.
All logic left the room.
It was an amazing sight to see. And I just really enjoyed it because it was just so off the walls bananas.
It was so good. When Nova comes back.
Yeah,
right?
So,
that's in the first one, right?
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't know first, what we're like, talking about.
That is the pinnacle moment. Like, oh, that is what solidified it as literally the king of the modern day B movies for me, was when it was Nova.
Yeah.
In the first film.
Yeah.
In the first film, yeah.
In the first Sharknado, in case nobody knows what we're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, Spencer, why don't you just enlighten us a little bit?
So, near the end of the movie, you've got your main character, Ian Ziering. He's wielding a chainsaw, and the shark is flying through the air at him.
Yeah.
He leaps into the shark's mouth with his chainsaw.
Gosh.
Everyone
epic.
Thinks he's
so
dead.
So ridiculously
he's
epic.
He's dead, but then they hear the chainsaw, and so he cuts his way out. And as he cuts his way out, he gets out of the shark and then reaches in and pulls out another character who was eaten by apparently that same shark minutes before.
In midair.
Who he thought was dead.
In midair. She was eaten in midair.
It was so nonsensical that it was glorious.
Now, I will say, on the subject of Sharknado and how that pertains to other B movies, once people finally get tired of Sharknado, when it literally jumps the shark,
which was
B
a
movies,
long time ago.
No, it hasn't yet. It's still on the upswing. It's going to go downhill probably in the next 2 to 3 years. But once it finally jumps the shark, B movies everywhere are going to have to figure out what the heck they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has been the crest of the wave now for, this is the sixth year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
2018.
Has it been in a
This is six.
And allegedly the last, but we'll see what happens with that.
Because the
first
one
they're trying to be done before people get tired of it.
Yes. And on like a low high note or whatever you'd call that.
Exactly. But once that's gone, other B movies are going to have to refigure out what B movies are.
Mm-hmm.
That's how ridiculously insane Sharknado has been.
So you're saying that essentially Sharknado has reshaped the way people are receiving. So now there's a standard set for B movies is what I'm hearing.
I'd say for modern day B movies, obviously your classic B movies are always going to be there and they're always going to be great. But how do you do like the B movie of 2023? Like, what does that kind of a B movie look like? It's going to have to be different.
Yeah.
And speaking of Sharknado, yes, we are going to be reviewing the last one. God willing, it will be the last one.
I'm very excited about it.
I'm sure you are.
And as a side note, like, you know, B movies aren't for everyone. Like, I understand that. Like, if it makes your head hurt, even based on that little synopsis I gave you earlier, then you're probably not the person who should be watching those types of movies. Now, you, Eddie, do, because we're reviewing it next week.
See, this is the problem. So, the thing. I'm a fan of movies, just in general. I love the idea of what movies do. I love the opportunity to have a creative outlet for anybody who is a filmmaker, a writer, an actor. You know, even if you're just a key grip, whatever you are, and you feel like you can do it well in the industry, by all means, you know, I plan to support you to the fullest. And that's kind of been my mindset for the longest. I've always struggled, however.
Eddie has actually donated to Tommy Wiseau before because he believes in him too.
That's true. One point in time. Mm. Although he didn't need it. Mm. Don't look at me like that, Spencer.
He gave him a used wrapper to a Dum Dum Pop.
What? I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of the fun stuff that happens around here. What is
it? Hey, it was a mystery wrapper too, so Tommy still doesn't know what the flavor ever was. How apropos. Sorry, please continue.
That was great. Actually, that was really good.
Thank you.
No, but
that'll be the end of my contributions to this segment of extra credit.
So the one thing, though, that I've always struggled with are B movies. I understand, like, for me, the pinnacle of B movies was the 80s. Like, all the horrible, funny, hilarious, sci-fi, ridiculous, you know, B movies during that time, starting with, like, the Toxic Crusader and every single thing that came out of that studio was insane and funny. And everything else just kind of has been, like, either it's all about, you know, gore and how ridiculous people can be killed, or it's all about, you know, nudity and sex and whatnot. And that's not always the case with every single one. But, like with whatever we see on sci-fi, obviously, it's more tame than
Here's
most.
What I think. I thought that Tommy Wiseau was going to be my last comment on this extra credit. It's not.
There you go.
I think... you might be a B movie snob. I think you, Eddie, you like it when that whole like B movie underground subculture was its own exclusive club of very few people that even bothered to try looking to watch these things. Mm. But the B movie subculture has actually gone fairly well mainstream, especially with Sharknado. That's the best example of it. But it was happening a little bit before.
Yeah.
I mean, like, with all access cable, 24/7 programming on every channel imaginable, you're going to have a lot of terrible content because people are just putting something on the screen. And so they're going to, you know, go to the well. They're going to pillage your childhood favorites.
Yes.
They're going to make other ones that are even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And more people are going to know about them. It's going to be less exclusive than it used to be. And nobody's going to understand the value that B movies used to have. I think you're a little bit of a B-movie snob. And I say that lovingly. I don't say that in a judgmental way. But you want things to be exclusive and special and not mainstream. And the culture, my friend, has moved on without you.
I would say, here's the thing. No, here's the thing. Because technically, I agree. I do have the mindset that like films like Killer Clowns from Outer Space or Toxic Crusaders or The Stuff or Chud... Those are all movies that are from the 80s that are like classic B movies. Those are movies that exactly exemplify what I think make up the B movie culture. I think you guys, although now mainstream and now the Sharknado, whatever, I think you guys are becoming the millennial snobs, if you will, of B movies. As now, because you, out of your own words, you stated earlier that after this, B-movies are going to have a tough time kind of filling the gap that Sharknado will leave once the franchise is done, which in my mind thinks you guys have set a standard for B-movies that you're hoping the other B-movies meet.
Well, okay, generally,
boom,
when you release a movie, you've set a bar, and then, like, if you
But they're B-movies! They're all bad! There is no bar!
That movie, you go above that. You don't go below. You don't go down the ladder.
Then what's the expectation for a B-movie? Are you expecting it to be good, or are you expecting it to just be a B-movie? Like, what's the expectation set there?
No, you can expect, like, B-movie level, and then expect them to top themselves as they do a sequel to the first thing.
Well, you definitely also have movies that kind of shoot for that B-movie bar and miss. And they are terrible, terrible. They are not even B movies, and nobody, and I mean nobody wants to watch it. I mean, maybe Mystery Science Theater 3000 wants to review some of them, but nobody wants to watch them. You want to watch people reacting to them or making fun of them more than you want to watch the movie itself.
Right.
Amazing Bulk.
Oh, the Amazing Bulk.
Lord above, we are never, ever, ever in the history of this podcast going to talk about that film in detail.
Well, I'm about to talk about it a little
bit. So let's talk about The Amazing Bulk, Spencer.
The Amazing Bulk.
Let's see, where's the outro music? Hold on.
Honestly, just watch the trailer on YouTube. That will tell you absolutely everything you need to do.
That's as much of your time as we would ask you to waste.
That's the problem. This movie was about 2 hours long, and I still had no clue what the heck was happening.
And now that I've seen it, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what the movie was about because it's garbage. Skip it. Don't bother watching.
Then why are we telling him to go see the trailer?
Because the trailer is amazing. Because
oh
this movie is 100% in front of green screen. 100%. You have to run. You're doing it in front of a green screen.
Not only is it in front of green screen, but the effects look like they were made on MS Paint.
No, no. See, the problem with the effects is that there are a cobbled, like, they are just from so many different sources, and then it becomes this amalgam of things that should never be together.
I will say this. One of the best life choices I ever made was to take a nap during this movie.
It really was.
I did not. I watched the first 5 minutes and the last like 30 seconds leading into the credits of the movie. I was asleep through the entire thing, and I love that I slept through it.
Yeah, he made a good choice on that day.
Yeah, well, sadly we didn't.
I think he's still mad at me for that.
I am. That's 2 hours of my, the exact wording that one of our friends who was with us while we were watching it, she said, that is 2 hours of my life I will never get back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, that happens lots of times in life. You get stuck in traffic,
yeah.
It's an airplane.
way to equivocate,
right?
Spencer.
Yeah.
No, and some people feel that way about B-movies, even the ones that people like us who enjoy B-movies, we find certain B-movies enjoyable. Other people don't enjoy them at all. Mm-hmm. Every second is a waste of their time, and it's offensive to them that you even ask them to spend their life in front of a screen during the proceedings. And that's okay. It's not they're not supposed to, I don't think any movie is really supposed to be for everyone. Like, you're going to have detractors no matter what. Even if it's the best movie.
That I agree
with.
If
it's the Citizen Kane of the 21st century, it's
not for
everyone.
Which, by the way, have you seen that yet, Spencer?
The Citizen Kane of the 21st century? No.
Citizen Kane.
No, because that's not of the 21st century.
Wow.
Yeah. Casablanca.
Yeah.
Casablanca is hailed by many as the best movie ever made for various reasons, and I know a number of people who can't watch the whole thing. There, it's from a different time period. It's not the same like storytelling style as what's popular today, and they just can't sit through it. Does that mean that they're, you know, not cultured enough? Perhaps. I don't know. But, you know, not there's no film genre or specific film product that should be for everyone with no exceptions. Now, B movies are for less of everyone than mainstream movies, I would say, overall. Like, if you enjoy the XXX franchise with Vin Diesel,
my gosh,
you can still hate B movies. Now, those of us who love B movies will look at you and say, well, we're the opposite. We love B movies and we can't stand the XXX franchise because those movies are garbage. B movies have value. But it's weird. They're kind of like two sides of the same coin. I can't really speak to what's exactly off about them, except the XXX franchise takes itself very seriously, and B movies usually do not take themselves seriously at all.
I kind of want to go around the table real quick, and before we kind of wrap this up, I want to see, what is your favorite B movie? And I know that there can be a large list, Spencer, so I'm asking you to at least whittle it down to one that allows you to stomach it very, you know, most well. And Chad, I know you need a little bit of time.
I know. I love the genre, but I don't love individual properties. This will be challenging to me.
So I will let Spencer go first. I will go after Spencer, and then we'll give Chad his time. So Spencer, what is your favorite B movie?
Probably Sharknado.
The first one?
Yes, the first one.
The very first one?
Very first one.
So why does that one stack up better than any of the other five?
Because the
other
five? There's five total. So.
Well, we haven't seen the sixth one yet. So the other four.
Gotcha. The other four.
Okay, so because the first one was the first one, like there was no point of reference for anything that was going to happen in that movie. Like once Sharknado 2 was about to come out, like since you had like the moments in Sharknado 1, you already had an idea of where they could go. They still, I feel like they topped themselves or did very well at least. And most of the lineup afterwards has done like pretty well for itself, especially when we got to vote for whether Tara Reid should stay in the series or not.
They should have voted as to whether or not the series should have continued after that.
No.
I lost that vote, by the way.
Oh, you won? Yeah, you wanted to kick her out.
I wanted to kick her out like in the first 3 seconds she was on screen.
No, oh, you gotta keep her. She's so terrible.
She's so bad.
So one of my favorite B movies is actually, no surprise here, a mid-80s film. Mm. It's actually called Invaders from Mars. It's a really cool film because of the fact that it's funny, it's campy. These Martians end up taking over people. It's kind of like a mixture of like Invasions of the Body Snatchers meets meets like Home Alone, because this kid is just capable of like getting past all these Martians and everything. And essentially, not to spoil it for anybody, but he ends up defeating the entire Martian invasion with a penny. So that's the unique part about it. With nice. I'll leave it at that. He defeats the entire Martian invasion with a penny.
Okay.
What? Well, Spencer's looking at me with
I'm just rather shocked that you never invited me to watch it. That's all.
It's because I don't have it. I don't think it's ever been made to go on video. Is it on Vudu? Do you see it anywhere?
It's on Amazon Prime now.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to watch it.
We're going to watch this right after this. But no.
After party.
This was one of my favorite movies growing up because it was always kind of like what you're talking about. It was always on that midday kind of movie roundup after the cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
They would play just random movies. This would always be one of the movies they would play. Or late at night when they would do these like monster madness type of nights on Saturdays, they would play ridiculous monster movies. So if it wasn't The Blob, or if it wasn't like Critters or Killer Clowns from Outer Space, it was usually this one. And okay. So I would have to say that my favorite is Invaders from Mars.
Invaders from Mars. I don't know that I would go so far as to say that I have a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Sharknado series, for better or worse, is kind of dear to my heart. Because, I mean, who comes up with a tornado made out of sharks? It's the stupidest thing, but yet so gloriously funny. And especially that sequence in, gosh, so Finn good. With the chainsaw pulling Nova gosh. Out at the end of that movie was life at the time.
Was life
just so good. They were living their best life. That's what was happening. They were living their best life. I would say one that stood out to me, though, as also zany and enjoyable for no good reason. I don't remember the name of it, but basically it was like L.A. was volcano earthquake, and there were these spider things that were coming out through the lava.
Lavalantula.
Lavalantula, yeah. That Leave one stands out to me. Also, and I brought this up briefly without knowing the title of it, but I brought it up briefly in our review of The Meg. The one where it's like the sharktopus and...
Oh my gosh.
What was the other one? It was a shark, a great white shark and an octopus put together fighting against like an alligator pteranodon or something ridiculous.
Terracuda?
Terracuda, that's it. Yeah, Terracuda. It was a Barracuda pterodactyl. Yeah. I mean, the things that they get away with making these days are, it's just ridiculous, zany, fun.
Really stupid.
And so, it knows that it's stupid, and it means to be stupid.
Those are the best ones when, like, you can balance... Like, meaning to be stupid, but you can do it in a way that's watchable. Like, then you're in the gold right there.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. But that about wraps up another episode of Extra Credit. So, Spence, why don't you roll us out?
This has been Extra Credit with the Film Lovers, and we'll see you next time.
That'll do.
Not Babe.